Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast.
God has given us various things in the natural world, in society, that help us understand spiritual realities. When the Lord, for example, created man, Adam, he gave him a family. And the reason God gave him a family is because he wants us all to understand the spiritual side of a family. Now, when I brought this teaching years ago to this church, I did not realize the change, the positive change it would bring to the people of God. I just felt it had to be done. Because when I would go preach in different churches, and I did it for years, I saw the pain, the troubles the pastors went through because of people who left and all the trouble that came with it. And I thought to myself, the Bible has the answer. Let's find it. And I found it. God Almighty chose Adam's family. Adam had no choice. In the spirit, it's the same thing. God chooses our families in the spirit. We don't choose them. God will choose them. And the church, the family of God, is the visible link to the invisible kingdom of God. I'll say it again, Michael. The church, the local church, the family of God, is the visible link to the kingdom, which is invisible. This is the visible, the kingdom is the invisible, and it's our link between both. A link between both. So in the sight of God, the church is very important. Very important. In the realm of the spirit, God has given us local assemblies, which are the visible expressions of the invisible family of God. So you have to understand that the Lord gave us local churches, local assemblies. For what? Because it's the visible expression of the family, the invisible family of God. So in the early church, each community had one local assembly. But in today's world, there are many local churches in each community. And that's why people today are not committed as they used to be to that local assembly. They come, they leave, in and out of a local church, without warning, without accountability. And what they're bringing to themselves is trouble. Can you sit down over there, please, young man that's standing? Thank you so much. So that's why there's people that have trouble. And the Lord wants us to be committed to a body for many reasons. I'll give you a lot of them tonight, okay? And God is concerned in the New Testament with numbers. So it says in the upper room were 120, later 3,000, later 5,000. And the reason for it is because God cares about his family. His family. The reason he judged David for counting Israel is because David took the credit. he took the credit to say, I'm the king, I can do anything I want. And he was punished for that. There are great benefits given to us in Scripture when we are committed to the house of God. And the church today in many places, not most, but many places, is plagued by those who answer to no one. They answer to no one in the most important part of life, their spiritual life. And that's really not God's way, because our commitment to the church reveals our commitment to the Lord. Let me show it to you from the Psalms. Psalm 68, verse 6. Notice what it says here. Let's put it on the screen for the people, please. Psalm 68, 6. Now, it is God who puts people in families. It says, God setteth the solitary, or those who are not a member or members of a family, in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains. So only in the family will the chains come off. I'm going to say it again. The church is the place for freedom, not bondage. Bondage is outside the church, not in the church. Do not see the church as a building. It's his church. This is not the church. This is the building. The church is the people. Say, we are the church.
We are the church.
Say it again.
We are the church.
Say it again.
We are the church.
So when you see that the church is the people of God, not the building, you see it different. Now, you see it rightly. So it says, God setteth or establishes the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains. Brings them out of where? Out of the world, into the church. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Outside the church is what? Dry land. And dry land means no water, no food, no vegetation. It's empty out there. If it wasn't for the early church being one, we would not even be here today. If it wasn't for the church in my early life, I would not have survived. I was so hungry for fellowship, I went to church every night, not just on Sunday. I went to every meeting that church had called the catacombs. Monday night was Bible study, and Tuesday was youth, and Wednesday was midweek, and Thursday was the big service downtown, and Friday was St. Matthew's, and Saturday morning was a class called the Timothy class. I went to every one of them. Everyone. I was so hungry. Plus, my family was not saved. The influence in our home was satanic. I saw light in the church and darkness in my house. And then later, my mom and dad got saved. Thank God for that. But it was a tough 3 years for me with my family, who did not understand why I'm going to church all the time. I would not be who I am today in God or as a pastor and minister if it wasn't for those early days. You have to establish yourself. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. It goes on to say they will bring forth fruit in old age. It's in Psalm 92. It says if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish in the courts, meaning outside. They'll see the fruit on your life. And you'll still bring forth fruit when you're old. How many want to bring fruit to the kingdom when you're old? You got to be planted right. Now, I'm going to show you tonight how to find the right pastor. It's all in the Bible. All in the Bible. Now, let's go to Psalm 92, by the way, which I just mentioned, beginning at verse 10 through verse 15. And notice the connection. Notice the connection here with being planted. Psalm 92, verse 10 through 15 now. Okay? On the screen, please. My horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Meaning you'll give me authority. How many want authority? How many want authority in the spirit? That's what the horn is. You'll exalt my horn or authority like the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Say those words. I shall be. Say, I shall be. Not I am. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Where though? Keep reading. Keep reading. Verse 11. My eyes will see my desire on my enemies. My ears will hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. God will deliver you from your enemies. Where? The answer is coming. Verse 12. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Where? Verse 13, please. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Do you see the connection? Don't look at the text. Look at the context. The context begins with, I'll be anointed with fresh oil. But where? Then it says you'll flourish. Where? You'll be delivered. Where? Those. The word, that word, those is connecting those before. Let's go back to verse 10. Come on, back to verse 10. My horn will you exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Great, I want it. But how do I get it? Verse 11 says, it says, my eyes will see my desire on my enemies. When the fresh oil comes, my enemies will be defeated. Good, I want it. But how do I get it? Verse 12 says, I'm going to flourish like a palm tree. Good, I want it. But when? Verse 13 says, those. Did you see that? Who are the those? All the ones he's been talking about. The ones planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then, let's go on, we're not done yet. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Doesn't mean fat. Fat means anointed, that word. They shall be anointed and flourishing. Do you want your future to be blessed?
Yes.
You must be planted properly.
Yes.
This teaching I'm bringing to you brought growth to OCC. And my children and I have been talking about the importance of it. So let's keep going to verse 15. To show, watch this. To show, meaning God will use you, that the Lord is upright. You want God to use you? How many want God to use you? Say amen.
Amen.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Not only every scripture I gave you is connected to the word those. If you're planted, you get all the results. And then God will use you to show that he is upright. To show means somebody's showing, somebody's talking about it. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. So being planted in the house of the Lord is the heart of these promises. That's it. Now, let's keep looking at the benefits of membership. Now, membership is not, well, you know, are you on the list and are you a giver, all that. No, it's spiritual. And that's where the benefits come, spiritually. So to refuse the fellowship of the saints is to refuse protection. To refuse protection. And that, may I add, is in Isaiah 4, verse 5. It says that God will protect those in assemblies. assemblies. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. This is the church. Mount Zion is the church. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her what? Assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day. For what? Protection. And the shining of a flaming fire by night. For what? It says for defense at the end of that verse. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Say, God will protect me when I am planted. It's very important. We need this teaching more than you realize in other churches. People don't even talk. They don't even discuss it. Because, oh my goodness, they're trying to control my life. No, we're trying to establish your life. Establish your life. Not control your life. Establish your life. We want God to bless you, to use you, to increase you spiritually and in every other part of life. But you have to understand, just like those trees, back when we lived at the springs, went through shock when they were unplanted. You keep planting and unplanting, planting and unplanting, you can have nothing on those trees. No fruit, no nothing. Now, it says protection, defense in Isaiah. Now, Hebrews 10 is very clear, beginning at verse 21 through 25. Are you all with me here? I know you're with me in the natural. Are you with me with what we're talking about?
Yes.
Good. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 21 through 25. And this is God's command, not his advice. Okay? It says, and having high priest over the house of God. Having high priest over who? Over who? That means you. Okay? Let us, the church, not me, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our, not mine, our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our, not my body, our bodies washed with pure water. This is all about unity. Unity. Ours, us. Not me, 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 us. Let us, again, plural, hold fast the profession of our faith. You cannot keep the faith on your own. No man is an island. You cannot survive alone. You must understand we need each other. It says, let us hold fast the profession. You cannot hold fast by yourself. The devil will destroy you by yourself. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Who? Us. Promised us, not promised me only, us. Let us, again the church, every time you see the word us, it's oneness, unity, togetherness. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Without the church, you can't provoke anybody to love and unto good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking. But you have to put everything together that we just read. He is the priest of our confession. Let us hold fast. Let us provoke each other to love. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then in the next verse it says, please let's keep going. Keep going. Huh? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He's faithful that promised. Keep going, please. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Keep going, please. And here's the headline. Don't blow it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because then you're going to fall if you're alone. Amen. as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's what we're doing tonight. I'm exhorting all of you, exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching, meaning the coming of the Lord. So in Jeremiah 23:3 is another verse. I can keep you here all night and give you scriptures on this. All right, Jeremiah 23, verse 3 is another one. It says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. I'll bring them again to their what? Folds. Folds means local groups. Local assemblies as folds, where there's smaller groups than all the sheep, you know. And the promise is they then will be fruitful and increase. How many want to be fruitful? How many want to increase? You must be in the fold. You must be a part of the fold. Now, you cannot have fellowship with God if you don't have fellowship with his body. It's in 1 John 1 verse 3. 1 John 1 verse 3, it says, hey, listen, I'm going to just give you scriptures. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. In other words, the gospel. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. This verse is powerful. It says very clearly and states that our fellowship with each other is the fellowship that gives us fellowship with God himself. My fellowship with the church allows me to fellowship with the Lord. Go back and look at it again. It says very clearly, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. So we preach the gospel to you, and then that you also may have fellowship with us. Your fellowship with us, and then you're able to fellowship with the Lord. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So to fellowship with God, you cannot cut the church out. It's his body. It's his church. We are his church. We need each other. Without fellowship with God and each other, we will never know the power of the blood. It's in verse 6 and 7. You have to connect the Bible. Connect it together. Learn, study, search the scriptures. Look at verse 6 and 7. And look at it in this light. If we say we have fellowship with him, remember what he just said in verse 3. Our fellowship is with each other, and then you can have fellowship with the Lord. How can you have fellowship with the invisible if you don't have it with the visible? We are his extension on earth. We are his people. And then it says now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying. We don't know the truth. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And one with another will bring us to the blood. It is powerful. They always ignore the fellowship one with another. Oh, I have the power of the blood over my life. If you're lacking fellowship, the blood will do nothing for you. You say, how do you know that? I've been in it for over 50 years. How about you? I've heard the best Bible teachers you in the world. You haven't. I have. The blood of Jesus without the church has no power. You can say the blood and the devils will laugh at you because you're not connected properly. Wow. You're not under the cover of protection. The church is the protection. So it's been messed up over the centuries. People have misunderstood a lot about the body of Christ, the church, the church, the church. Wow. So may I go on? Turn it up a little bit? I think I'm doing all right. Still on fighting jet lag, but I'm doing okay. All right. Now, look what it says further, because this is really important here. And this is for the whole world to hear, not just this congregation. I want everyone who goes to a church to hear this. This is for your protection. So fellowship with the Lord not only enables us to understand and fellowship with his people, to understand the power of his own blood, but it also says something powerful in Scripture. It enables us to walk in the light. Look at that verse again. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It's together. It's one. It's connected. You can't walk in the light without fellowship with each other. And the word "and" connects what we just read, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse you from sin. It's all one scripture. You cannot separate it here. Light and fellowship is one. You can't be walking in fellowship and have darkness. Now, let's look at Paul the Apostle, okay? In Acts 9:18, Dion, and Acts 9:26 through 30, Jim, we see something fantastic. We see that he, in Acts 9:18, Dion, he makes a covenant with God through baptism. Dion, can you read for me Acts 9:18, please?
It says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized."
Baptized. So Paul now is being baptized. What does it mean? Covenant. He comes into the covenant of the church. That's how they became a part of the church, as you do here, through baptism. Baptism has nothing to do with getting wet. You're making a covenant with God. You're sealing it. You're sealing it. The result is in verse 26 through 30, Jim.
"And when Saul was come to Jerusalem..."
Now he's baptized up in Damascus. Now the covenant is in. He's sealed in it. And he comes to Jerusalem.
"He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out."
Let's stop now. He's in fellowship by now, because at first they rejected him. He wanted to join himself to them. They said, no, we don't want you around. Later, Barnabas says, no, listen, this man is truly saved. He met the Lord and so forth and on. And now he's one of them. Reread that portion, Jim, please.
"But Barnabas took him and
helped him to connect with the church, to fellowship with the church that did not want to fellowship with him.
"And brought him to the apostles and declared unto them..."
Brought him to who?
"To the apostles."
Which means they had to accept him.
"And declared unto him how he," Paul, "had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when he was come with them..." Excuse me. "And when he was with them coming in and going out..."
Meaning he was in fellowship with the church. He was coming to church and living with the church, became a part of the church.
And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him.
What did the church do?
Which when the brethren knew... When the brethren knew...
Not the heathens.
Amen.
When the brethren knew, when the church knew that people wanted to kill Paul, they...
They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus.
To protect him. The church is for protection even from the enemies out there in the natural world. This is very powerful stuff. So God says, I will build a defense over you, but how? Through his people. Through his people. To be a member of a local church gives us amazing protection. Great protection. I want to show you something that I know is a hot potato. People don't understand it. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Let's explain that one, okay? So there's a man sleeping with his father's wife in Corinth. And Paul says, listen, you got a problem. I hear it's reported commonly, it's not just one guy, it seems more than one, but he was focusing on that one man, that there is fornication among you. Such fornication that is not so much as to be named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Verse 2, and now you're all puffed up and proud, you haven't even repented over this, you haven't mourned, and he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Taken away from among you means, verse 3, for I verily am absent in the body, present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present. Why? Because I'm a member of the church. How are we present in spirit? Because we're members of the same body. Concerning him that had done, that had so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered, what? Together. There's power in togetherness. And my spirit with you. Now, that doesn't mean something weird like he just showed up. When the church is together, there's power. There's unity, there's oneness. And that's all that he means by my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus. I'm with you in spirit. I'm in you with your decision. That's what it means. Verse 6, to deliver, or verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan. People haven't known what to do with this verse for years. To remove someone from fellowship is to expose him to attack. Demonic attack. Or they expose themselves to demonic attack by leaving the protection of the church. And then it says, for the destruction of the flesh, not the spirit. What is the destruction of the flesh? Attacked by demons, harassed mentally and physically by the demonic. In the church today, I'm going to shock you on this one. In the church today, there are many people that have devils, harassed mentally by demons, because they have no covenant with the church. Because a covenant with God means nothing without his church. Well, I'm in covenant with God. Okay, show me evidence. The evidence is in your oneness. Jesus said that they may be one as we are. Oneness with the church is oneness with the Lord. It is his body. His prayer is quite simple. I pray that they may be one as we are one. In oneness, there's incredible power and protection. Catherine Kuhlman said in her meeting, and I was there, she said, if we can have unity, not one will remain sick. And that's a fact. In the book of Acts, they were all in one accord. One accord. When the Holy Spirit fell, and it says in Acts 5, all were healed. Because of that oneness, they cared for each other so much in the early church. Today, we don't see it. I pray that the Lord will make this church a New Testament church. Amen. And the people of God said,
amen.
Lift your hands, say, Father,
make this church
a New Testament church in Jesus' name. He'll answer that because that's his heart. That's what he wants. And the Lord gave us a warning in Matthew 18 that kind of ties in with 1 Corinthians 5. In Matthew 18, verse 17, it says this. And this is for everyone, not just people who attend here, people that attend other churches who are here visiting from other cities. This is for you too, that when you go to your church, understand the power of that oneness. It says, well, let's go back to verse 15 first, and then we'll put it all together for you guys. If your brother will trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he'll hear you, you've gained him. Verse 16, if he doesn't hear you, then take two or three with you. In the mouth of two or three, it may be established. But if he ignores that, bring it to the church. Why? Because there's power here. Power to protect and dismiss. And if he will not hear the church, if he neglect to hear the church, now this is the Lord talking here. This is mighty authority in this. Let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican, meaning an outsider. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Remove him from fellowship. He's exposed to the demonic. Let him be as a heathen. And Paul makes it very clear that the heathen are taken over at Satan's will anytime he wants. So when you see people, and let me just go back to what I was saying earlier. Look, I was a pastor here for 20 years in this building. And I had gone to many, many churches before that, and I was always troubled by, why do these Christians have devils? Why do you, when you cast out demons, people who have just sung great songs of worship begin to manifest? They didn't add up with me. Commitment to the Lord. You cannot say, I'm committed to the Lord and not be committed to his church. We're not talking denominations. We're not talking legalism. We're not talking bondage or control. We're talking fellowship. Say fellowship. That's all, fellowship. Because we need it. We already saw the fellowship. We're in fellowship in 1 John, in other portions. So important. And as a pastor in this room for 20 years, not 20 months, 20 years, the people who were always troubled were those who were never committed. I got to know some of them by name. They were always troubled by something. Always some devil was coming at them. But they were not committed to this local church. They would hop around everywhere. They were like those trees, in and out, in and out. They had no fruit, no life in them. Just a lot of trouble. Give God time to get the devils out of you. By planting yourself and staying with it. Because eventually the fruit upon your life will show itself. And eventually you'll become freer and freer, mentally, spiritually, physically, all that. Freedom comes progressively. It's not going to happen overnight. Never does. God always works slowly with his people. Line upon line, priest upon all that. Give the Lord time. Some of you sitting here, I'm sure, who are troubled somewhat mentally, maybe otherwise, in spirit or heart. Give God time. Let his word have the impact. And it works slowly. The more you hear, the freer you are. But you got to give God the time to. He works with you. You work with him. So, and God will never rush his sheep. He leads them, it says, gently. I love that about Jesus. He's a gentle shepherd. See, so a true shepherd will never push you. He'll lead you. I'm going to show you just a second the benefits of being under a shepherd. And who is the right shepherd? I told OCC right here, I said, if I don't fit the shepherd, please, you can go anywhere you want. But if I fit this list of Psalm 23, I'm your shepherd. And they listened. Thousands of them. But before we go on, let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. Because here we see something fantastic. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Thank you. Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16. I'm almost done. Almost done. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We all know that scripture, don't we? To the which you are called in one body. Hold it. Is Paul trying to tell me that the peace of God will not rule in my heart if I'm not a part of the body? It's there. You can't erase it. We all want the peace of God, but we all don't want the body. It's a part of it. One verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called. The peace you're called. The peace you're called. You're called into one body. Without being one in the body, you'll never have the peace. I think you're probably seeing those scriptures for the first time in a different way, right? Let's keep going. Verse 16, please. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing what? One another in psalms and hymns. That's what happened tonight when Aaron was leading and Judy and the others. You were doing what? You are admonishing each other with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody with grace in your heart to the Lord. So worship, Tucker, isn't just worship. Worship is this. You're literally, you are admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns. People are listening to the words of the psalms and hymns and being strengthened, being blessed. I'm watching from the back. I saw some of you weeping here. Why? You were being blessed, strengthened in your spirit. It moved you emotionally. You're crying, loving Jesus. It says so. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in wisdom, teaching, admonishing, but it can't happen outside the church. Only in the church. Now, as I close, what is a real shepherd? Okay. Let's go and show you. Let's go, Jim, to Psalm 23. It's all there. When I taught this in OCC years ago, this teaching I brought to this church in 1984, I think, 83, 84. And I still have my notes. And I looked for them and I found them. So this teaching I'm giving you tonight is, what, 83, 84? How many years is that? Whatever, and it still works. Yeah, 40 years ago. So some of you weren't even born. But look what the Bible says about a true shepherd. Okay, Jim.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
So this is giving us the under-shepherd. What does a shepherd really do, okay? Let's go, Jim.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Stop. He makes me lie down. Meaning he himself has already surveyed the territory and pasture as good and healthy for the sheep. He maketh me lie down in what? Green pastures. That he himself knows it's good for the sheep. That he himself knows it's healthy food there for the sheep. Number two.
He leads me beside the still waters.
He leads. He doesn't push. He leads the sheep beside quiet, restful waters that he himself has tasted for purity. How does he know the water without tasting it? So a good shepherd is one who has surveyed what's good for you. Making sure it's healthy for your benefit spiritually. That's a real shepherd. You're lying this and you're really enjoying this, Michael. I can see that. Your beard is shining. And I want to say this, not because he's my family. I have looked at every one of those, and every time I look, I say, that's Michael. Because I see him doing that. I've known him way longer than you have known him. So first, he makes me lie down. In the grounds he surveyed, and the pasture he has surveyed to see it's good and healthy for me as a sheep. Number two, he leads me, doesn't push me. Leads me beside those lovely, quiet, restful waters that he himself has tasted for purity. And then, Jim,
he restores my soul.
After he himself has been restored. You can't restore a soul without you being restored. He restores my soul because he's been restored himself. And Michael has experienced restoration. I've watched it happen years ago beautifully. I've known him since he was 12. Have you? I have. He ran down this aisle right here. He ran down right this aisle wearing a white suit, and he jumped on me right here on the platform. He jumped on me. I said, where are my boys? He comes running down the aisle with his cousin, Theo, and they're both in white suits. Jim, I think you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And they jumped on me right here, and I held them up. Thank God I was, well, they were small. So I could handle it then. Now I look at this man with a beard. He's in his 40s. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, what have you done with that? One wonderful life. It's amazing. He restores my soul because God restored his. All right, Jim, and?
He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
He guides the sheep. He guides the sheep. Where he himself has walked, he knows the dangers, where the dangers are. He knows how to avoid them, and he shows the sheep how to avoid them. He leads me and guides me, what now, Jim?
For his name's sake.
No, reread the verse.
Okay. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
He that's right. He takes me to path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, how do you find the path of righteousness? You find it by being led through the valley of death. Mm. To get there, you go through the valley to get there. So a true shepherd has been there before. He's been through that valley of darkness and destruction and death. He knows how to get you out of it, basically, to a place where, one more time, Jim.
Yea, though I walk.
He leads me in the path
of righteousness. For his name's sake.
Well, you can't be led in the path of righteousness without going through the valley of the shadow of death that he's been in for his name's sake. And, Jim.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
He's been there. That's why he can lead you.
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
Yeah.
Thy rod, thy staff. Now, this is a very powerful thing. When I studied the rod, I was amazed. The rod is an extension of the shepherd's arm in the east. And it's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of protection from wild animals. So It's an instrument for discipline and correction, the rod. But the rod, amazingly, not only is it an extension of the shepherd's arm, it also speaks of protection. It speaks of power, protecting the sheep from wild animals that will devour. It's an instrument of discipline, correction. And the symbol of the rod is the scripture. What is the rod? The scripture. Because through scripture, which is an extension of our own life, we there's power in the word to protect from wild animals or demons, that is. The staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Because the staff is to bring the sheep close to each other. The staff guides the sheep. And when the shepherd will touch the sheep with a staff, it's an expression of intimacy with the shepherd. Can I say it again? So his rod, this is very, very powerful. Thy rod and thy staff. The rod is the word. The staff is the spirit. Your rod and your staff comfort me. So with the rod, I protect and correct. With the staff, I bring you together. There's intimacy with the staff. That's powerful. That's just like Jesus. Okay, Jim, let's go.
Thou preparest a table.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. Means he is feeding the sheep. Poor Jim, he just read only a few words. I know. But you know, we've been together a long time. We kind of flow together. He'll do one part, I'll do another part. You know what I mean? So relax, we know each other. I did not cut him off. I just simply flowed with him.
That's it. Just that's call all. Me Flo.
We flow. That's it. We've been flowing together a long time. Amen. I used to tell Jim when we had OCC, I'd say, you get the devils out and I'll bring the Holy Ghost in. Because he got the devils out with praise and I brought the Holy Ghost in with worship. We've been together how long now, Jim?
36 years,
wow. So he prepares a table before me in the presence. Yeah, give him a bigger bless. He deserves that, okay? Yeah. And what a blessing he's been. He was with me in Kenya. Oh, my, that was something. 5,000 in the choir. And the first night they were dressed in green, the next night in red, I think.
Yes.
And he was there guiding and leading, and my goodness, it was like being in heaven. He prepares a table before me means that he feeds the sheep knowing demons are watching those who are not being fed to attack them. Because it says in the presence of my enemies. I'll say it again. you promise to also teach it again? It's a deal. I love you so much, Michael. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies means he feeds me while demons are watching to attack those who are not being fed. Wow, do you see that girl's face like, if people are not eating, demons will touch them and attack them. See? Demons will never touch the one who is being fed by the word. Because they can't. Because they come looking for vacancy. In Matthew 12, but what are they looking for? Is the word in there? If the word is in you, no devil can touch you.
So true.
That's just the Bible here. So they're not looking for signs and wonders. They're looking for the Bible. If they see the word in you, can never come and touch you. So the real shepherds is feeding sheep, knowing the demons are watching. So he has to feed them well. So no devils can touch them. And repetition in teaching is very important. Because the average person only is listening to 30% of what the man is saying. Like tonight, you're really only hearing 30% of what I'm saying. So I have to repeat it for you to get it. Repetition is extremely important when it comes to the Bible. Say it over and over and over till they get it. If you have to sing it, sing it. Preach it, preach it. Whatever. Teach it, teach it. Just make sure they get it. And then he anoints my head with oil. Why does he anoint my head? To keep insects away. So I can sleep peacefully. Nobody can sleep with insects. The shepherds in those days understood one thing about sheep. When you rub the sheep with oil, no insect can harass. Meaning oil keeps devils away. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over, so I can lie down peacefully and enjoy my sleep. It gives me rest, gives me comfort. So a proper shepherd and pastor brings the anointing with the word he's bringing. Rubbing that anointing on them through the scriptures. So they can be resting and the devils cannot touch them. And in the natural today, in the East, they rub sheep with oil every night. They rub them with oil with their hand every night in the fields of the Middle East because they know oil keeps the insects off. Jim, can you help me now on the instrument? He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. So true pastoral care cannot be effective without relationship. A shepherd cannot care and lead his sheep unless he knows them and they know him. Thank God. Well, I'm done with tonight. And I want to just pray with you right now. Can I be a little more open? In every church, we had it in OCC, they have it everywhere. There are going to always be people who are not exactly happy with what's going on. You're going to always have them. There was a man named Larry Lee. Larry Lee had a big church in Texas. Dear, dear friend. Rock Church in Texas, Dallas. He preached this platform one day, and he gave me a word in the back. He said, Pastor Benny, the people God sent to you will never leave you. And those he has not sent, you cannot keep. He said, those that God has sent to you will never leave you. Those he did not send, you cannot keep them. And it released me. I believe every church has people that God sends. And I'm talking to those tonight that God has sent to show you the benefits of being in fellowship with where God sent you. You see, how do I know? I just gave you what to look for in a shepherd. I said to OCC years ago, I said, if I don't fit what I just preached in this from Psalm 23, I'm not your shepherd. But if I fit, I am. And we had some challenges. I had people on staff who wanted to become shepherd number two and some number three. I said, no. I said, that's a monster. I said, a shepherd is one head, not two heads. Two heads is a monster. One head is a shepherd. God doesn't speak through a monster. He speaks through a shepherd. And I kept my authority had to be established sometimes over and over, but eventually they all got it. This is the pastor. That's it. And we were here for 20 years. This place was so mobbed and packed Sunday and Wednesday and even the prayer meetings on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. The place is packed. And Tuesday mornings. How long did we have prayer meetings for here?
A couple of years.
Yeah. But they were committed to show up even at 6 a.m. for prayer. There were as many people as there are right now here at 6 a.m. And I had to keep them for 1 hour from 6 to 7 because they had to go work. But what God did through this amazing move of God that we had here has changed the world. As a result, the Crusades began. And it's still, the impact is still being felt throughout the world. Nobody would know me in Kenya if we didn't do it right here. Nobody. I'm on my way to Nigeria in 9 days from now. Pray my body will be all back together. Why? Because it's been tested to be good. You can't have a worldwide ministry, and I'm talking to some of you that will have it one day, without being established properly and being in submission to authority. I was submitted to authority first, Tommy Reed, then Oral Roberts, and then Jack Hayford. I went through the most difficult season in 2010, 11, and 12. Who did I go to? Jack Hayford. I sat with that man of God every month for hours. I'm still here because of these men. I understood accountability. I understood submit to a man who's proven himself. Oral Roberts, come on, please. Tommy Reed before him, mighty people of God. I understood that it has to be done that way. You can't just be an island. Think God will be with you. Longevity, that's what it's all about. You'll never have longevity without submitting to authority. And it's not about control. No, please, come on. Tell you what to eat for breakfast. Oh, that's weird. It's about protection. Protection. Jack Hayford looked at me one day. He said, why do you do? And he went through the details. I said, because I'm dramatic. Well, I said to him. He said, well, Benny, but what are you gaining from it? And he kind of had me think. I said, you're right. And it changes you because some man of God like a Jack Hayford, who wrote Majesty, the song we all sing and love, spoke to me in such a loving way. I said, you're right. Today, people look at me in a whole different way because of men like Hayford and others that were able to, you know, adjust this and adjust that lovingly in my life. When I was young, I was wild. I used to jump, even as a pastor, I would jump on the organ here and jump down like Superman. He remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God, I did stuff that I don't do anymore, thank God. But why? Because I had men that really spoke into my life. Beautiful, empowered words that gave me such counsel. And I listened. And one day, Jack Hayford looked at me, not long after, well, he actually passed away after that. But he looked at me, he said, we've all known for years that God had his hand on you. But then he said, do you know why I believe God really called you? I said, please tell me. He said, longevity, Benny. He said, you're still here. With all the attacks and all the troubles you've gone through, you're still here. He said, only God can do that. I said, well, you've surely helped a lot. by giving me that counsel you've given me over the years and before immortal, dear God, I miss those people. I miss those men. Joe Dawson was another one. You've heard about Joe Dawson from Pastor Michael here and Jesse. She was tough on me too. But I loved her. I honored her. I honor their memory. And many people like them, many people like them. In my younger days, Jim Pointer and David Maines in Canada was incredible saints of God. So God has given you Michael and Jessica, whom I know deeper than you'll ever know. We were closer than you can even know. These two have been prayed over by the greatest people that ever lived. Oral laid hands on them when they were younger. So did Jake and others. And today we see the fruit in their life. We see the blessings of God. I was watching a part of their clip on their wedding where I was prophesying over them. I'm thinking, dear God, I was saying to Michael, there'll be signs and wonders and miracles through your ministry. Then I said to my daughter, prophetic. It's on tape. And she is very prophetic. And I'm thinking, when I saw it only days ago, I said, I even forgot that I said that. God is doing it because he remembered. He did it. So this is good ground here. Good ground. The whole world. Why would they watch them in Kenya? Why would they care to watch them in Ghana? Why would they care to watch them anywhere on YouTube, social media? Because they recognize God's hand is there. God's hand is there. Jensen Franklin, who did not know they were my kids at first. Michael had me call Jensen because he wanted to use Free Chapel in Southern Cali. So I called him. I said, my kids, and he's not putting it together, like, who is his kids? And finally he said, oh, I didn't know that you're Jessica's dad. I said, what? He said, I'm putting it together. He said, I see now. And then he said this. He said, I got my staff together before he even knew that we were connected. He said, I got my staff together and said, we want to copy their worship here in his church in Atlanta. He said, and I was wondering, you know, that they were bringing, and he said, he told the staff, he said, I love the fact they're bringing the old with the new. I said, Jensen, it's because of me they got the old. He said, I see it now. He said, I'm putting it all together. But hey, you know, let's get the best of the best, huh? From the past and the present. But people are copying their worship throughout the world. So can we stand and thank the Lord? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise. For you said in your word, you will establish us in fruitfulness and multiply your blessings on our life. If we're planted in your house. And Lord, what you did years ago, not do it again, but do it even greater than again. Let this be more than what you did back then. Let this be 10 times as much. 10 times as much. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless your people here. Those whom you call to be a part of this assembly. Protect them as you promised in your word in Isaiah 4. Increase them on every side in Jesus' mighty name. We give you all the glory.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit JesusImage.tv.